Let's go ahead and begin here, as we're going to start here this morning. We want to consider our brethren. And who is our brother? Question oftentimes asked, right? But you know what? Everyone's our brothers. In the Lord, we're all made in His image. Now, we've got brethren who are related in the body of Christ, but all are brothers. So, I don't believe we spend enough time being very honest about caring for one another. I have to admit, I'm guilty there. I should spend a whole lot more time letting people know I'm thinking of you. Do you need any help? Can I be of any help? How can I help and encourage you? I don't spend near the time I should. Probably. So, considering our brethren here this morning, let's consider what a dreadful thing to think of one that is lost. You know, we hear it on the news all the time, these young kids, they walk away, or not necessarily young people. People in college or older, they show up missing, they're gone, they're lost. We don't know where they are. That's a fearful thing. We know how it is physically in this life. But what about spiritually? Do we not recognize and understand how vital and critical it is when one becomes spiritually lost? If you don't have no God, you have nothing at all, do you? Think about that. If you have no God, you have nothing at all. Well, let's go the easy way. Jason talking in class. We'll make our own gods, right? Well, you'll see how long that'll hold up. We need the Lord in our lives constantly. So, I know you're not going to be able to see some of this, but you will be able to see the highlights. And we've looked there in Ezekiel chapter 34. In Ezekiel chapter 34, we read there. He says, I will seek what was lost. Ezekiel's a great prophet of old. But he understood that was his charter in life. He was going to seek those that were lost. And this is what he's telling God here. And bring back what was driven away. Bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. Yes? Who is he talking about there? Talking about his fellow mankind. Seek those that are lost, especially spiritually. Bring them back to the proper understanding and the knowledge of God's Word. And bind it up, their broken piece. We also see in Matthew 18. Matthew 18, there in verse 11. I don't have any highlights on these slides just yet, but we'll get there. In Matthew, we're told, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. So why did Jesus come? Because we were a lost people. We had no hope. And we also see in John 17. John 17. I appreciate hearing those pages turn. In verses 12 and 13. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those who you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. So, yes, the dread of being lost. Ezekiel said, we need to be about seeking those that are lost. You know what? There's a little secret here. We always want to point our fingers outside. Outside over there, now over that way and over there, there's all kinds of lost people. But you know what? Sometimes our fingers need to be pointing inwardly too. Right with our own body, our own brethren. We don't want any of our brothers and sisters to be lost, do we? We need to be cognizant of that fact. So, Ezekiel was seeking the lost. Why? To bring them back. Those that have gone away. And you know what? That happens so often, especially in the Lord's body, especially in our society today. We look around and we see the body of the Lord, the Church of Christ, His church, is actually getting smaller now. And we see to bind up the broken and strengthen those that are sick. You know, I was telling my wife just this past week, as I told you earlier on, I confess, I'm not very good with phone calls, phone time. But I told my wife, I've got to set aside, make it a point, every week on this day, I'm going to reach out and talk to my brothers and sisters. You know? She said, you know, I probably wouldn't take it, but maybe an hour. Got to do that. Also, as we see in John, our Lord and Savior, He kept us to the Lord. So, as valuable as your soul is, would you want someone giving up on you? I have some children who once obeyed the gospel, but they're no longer so. I've had a gentleman write me a letter saying that I should have nothing at all to do with them. But I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. And if Jesus did give up on us, where would we be at? So, I think that's the next point here. We are to follow our Lord's example in Galatians 6 and verse 1. Brethren, He says, listen to this, if a man be taken, overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens. And boy, we have many burdens within this very body this morning, with those that are sick and afflicted and dealing with illness. Bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Notice, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. That's our duty, that's our job. We can't give up on our brothers and sisters in Christ. We cannot give up on our neighbors next door and those that are lost into the world. We need to have the spirit of gentleness, caring, loving, kindness, but always being careful that you're not influenced the other way, that you're not tempted. We are to bear one another's burdens. That's a fact. Jesus came to bear our sins. The least we could do is help bear one another's burdens. So, as we consider, to accomplish anything, don't we need a plan? I know I do. Now, oftentimes that plan doesn't really come to completion, but you need a plan. We all know that. And you know what? Saving souls is no different. You need a plan. Jesus had a plan. Do you think Jesus had a plan? Yes, He had a plan. And we need a plan as well. Jesus' plan was come here to do His Father's will, didn't He? To obey and do His Father's will, not His own. And He knew He was going to have to be that ultimate sacrifice. He knew that. In anguish on the night there in Gethsemane, where sweat of blood was pouring down. He didn't want to have to go through it, but He did, because He knew He had to do the Father's will and that He loved me so. Also, there is often a discouraging endeavor in there. Anytime when you have a plan, I can just imagine Noah right now. Can you imagine the heckling that Noah got? What? Noah, you're building a what? about a what? Well, it can be very discouraging, but you need to keep the plan. Keep on like Noah. Build that ark so you can save some souls. Like our Lord did. He gave that ultimate sacrifice so he could save our souls. Also, most of people are in this condition being lost because of either weakness or indifference. And those are very common in the household of faith. Weakness and indifference. You ever notice that? Because that's what happens. Weakness and indifference will destroy the body of church. It'll destroy God's church. It is destroying it, as well as the lost world. And if you don't believe, you are determined to win them back, guess what? You probably won't. So we need that determination. We need to be able to endeavor and persevere so we can bring those lost souls back before it's eternally too late. But it doesn't happen without having a plan to do so. Also, one trip normally never wins over a soul. Now, I have to say, one time out of my few years of being a Christian, I can recall where one trip made a difference, just like that. A gentleman, his wife was very dedicated woman to the Lord, but he never ever darkened the doorway of the building, never. Myself and Don Billingsley, his good friend, Joel's, I know, we called on that lady that night. Of course, her husband was there. I never will forget. He said, "Well, I suppose you're here to try to convince me to come to church." And he was ready to come talk about us. "Well, brother, we're here for your wife, but you know, we'd love to have you." And we talked a little bit. From that day on, that man attended services religiously. He led prayers. He even gave lessons. Unfortunately, he passed away not too long ago. But, brethren, it normally doesn't work that way. We need to take several trips, oftentimes, effort to help those that are weak, help those that are losing faith. Also, it requires patience and determination. I remember when I first started here, I first spoke in just before Thanksgiving in November of 2009. For some reason, the men here at the time, they decided. And I would say this is probably about the size that we were at that time. And then we got to work and got up to where we're averaging pretty consistently in the mid-40s, near 50 sometimes. Now with COVID, it's kind of knocked us back down again. But it takes patience and perseverance. We can't give up on it. Like I've always said, we're like pebbles on the beach. We bang up against one another, day in and day out. We kind of help shape and mold one another. That's why it's so important that we as a body stay together, that we look after one another, that we can keep our body whole and healthy and strong. It comes with a great deal of patience. I know I get frustrated sometimes. I'm sorry for saying that, but I do. I get frustrated sometimes. But I can't let that get me down. I got to keep going. I got to have the determination to keep doing all that I can. And then more. In Luke 21 and 19, "By your patience, possess your souls." You know, if you're a new Christian, it doesn't change overnight. You know, it takes time to grow, become strong. We have to be patient to allow that word to work in us, to allow the Holy Spirit to help develop us in patience through that process. Also, we see in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor, and love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. Yes, Paul was writing back to the saints of Thessalonica, remembering without ceasing they labored for the Lord. They remained strong in the faith. They had a labor of love, and that's what our labor should be. Love for one another. Love for those lost souls. Love for that brother or sister that's struggling in Christ. Work of faith. I know a lot of people don't like that word, work. But you know what? If you don't work, you're going to die. I'm convinced of that. If you don't work, how can you even begin to have faith? I can have faith in this microphone saying, hey, that ain't what I'm saying. I can put my faith in that and walk on and be content, perhaps. But does it make it so? No. It takes work to have faith. It takes God's word. It takes a whole heap of prayer. And it takes a whole boatload of humility. We also see it should be a labor of love. We should love teaching God's words to others. There's a gentleman, he's long since retired now, and he's passed away several years ago, but I remember he's quite a few years older than I was, but there were nights, and I'm talking all nighters, that he and I would sit and talk about the Lord's work. True, it was a work of love. And it does require patience. So, as we continue, must go in the spirit of meekness and gentleness. And as I look at those words, to me they come quite easy. But to so many, I guess it doesn't. Perhaps it's their egos. Obviously it is. They're too good. Or they're too knowledgeable. They're too great or whatever. But brethren, we're told that all have sinned. Every one of us. Not a one of us is any better than the other. And don't you ever forget that. We must recognize that those that are lost, with love we should have meekness, gentleness, and humility. As we consider in Colossians 3, verses 12 through 14, Paul tells the saints there, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. That means you've got to make an effort to put it on, don't you? When you put something on, you've got to do something to get it on. Well, put on tender mercies. Long suffering, he says. It's going to be a long battle. No war was ever won in just a scrimmage. And verse 13, bearing one another. I can't say that enough. Bearing one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also. Now, I admit, I make mistakes sometimes. I appreciate you being a brother or a sister. Point that out. But above all these things, he says, put on love. Put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Yes? Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, and put on love. That's all it is. Such an encouragement to see y'all. You know that? Makes me feel warm. Makes me feel loved. So, as we consider, can't be a quitter. We just can't. We can't just give up. We can't be a quitter because many are looking for an excuse to quit. But I can't do this. I can't do that. I won't be any good in the Lord's work. I don't know about many people. Or I just moved to the area. Or I might be too young or too old or whatever. That's still no excuse to quit. In Matthew 10, verses 14 and 15. Matthew 10, 14 and 15. And whoso will not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart from the house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. See, there you go. All I have to do is shake off the dust of my feet, and I'll just walk away from it. Is that what it's saying? No. It's not really saying it just that way. Yeah, you endeavor to try to teach. You endeavor to train the people up in God's Word. But, you know, if they don't listen, then you go where they will. But you don't just look for an excuse to quit. A lot of people like to use that verse as an excuse. This was not meant to be a way out for us today. And it wasn't. There is no excuse to quit working for the Lord. Shake off the dust of your feet. Yeah. Okay, shake off the dust of that sin you got on your shoulder. Okay. Christians never give up on each other as long as time continues. And that should be a truth. We don't give up on one another. You know, we all have those days sometimes we have difficulties. Or maybe we made a bad decision just in a moment. It happens. In John 15, beginning there in verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. For you are my friends, if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known unto you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit shall remain. That whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love. That's what it boils down to. But you know what's probably more important than that? We touched on in class a little bit this morning. Do we love the Lord like we should? There should be no greater love than our love for him. But love one another. So important. So how would you feel if Christ had given up on us? Given up on you? Wouldn't be very pleasant, would it? Jesus went to his loving you. Will we go to our grave showing our love for our weak brothers who may be lost without our help. You know that one song we sing from time to time, you never mentioned him to me. Horrifying thought. Who else does the Lord have out in 73rd Avenue to do this work? If you don't go, who will? You know, it's so easy to sit back, especially when you have a group, and say, I'll let somebody else do it. But if everyone did that, nothing would get done with it. So our love and concern for our brother is so important. You know the answer is clearly, no, there's no one else. You need to do it. So, as we consider, here at 73rd Avenue, the love of our Lord and the love for our brethren, is it where it should be? You know, we do have a great number that are in need of prayers and help and support. We must not let them grow weak. We have many that's getting up in years. And there's nothing any more sad than to see a brother or sister who has been so faithful all through their lives, and when they come down at the end of that life, that they're alone, they're lost, and they feel, where is God? We must not let that happen. Showing the love we have. If you've never obeyed the gospel, I'd like to encourage you to do so. Because I tell you what, this whole life isn't easy. And time again, it's only through the Word of God that has given me strength to get through. You can have His help too. If you'd put Him on in baptism, you will become a child unto Him. You will have the avenue of prayer. And you will have those sins washed away. But you must remain faithful. Faithful unto death. Just as our Lord and Savior Jesus was faithful unto death on that cross, it shouldn't be any different with that we remain faithful unto death to the Lord. If anyone has need, we'd be happy to pray for you, pray with you. If you would, come forward. All together, we stand and sing.